This is URN The Pulse.
Gender equality, an unspoken taboo unlocked at last in the form of the He For She campaign, an internationally recognised stand for gender equality endorsed by the United Nations.
The campaign asks for men from all spheres of society to take a stand for gender equality, with high levels of support from prominent celebrities and politicians ranging from Emma Watson to Barack Obama.
September saw the arrival of the He For She campaign at Nottingham University, with a range of classes and talks all promoting and educating about the cause.
We covered the campaign as it launched in Nottingham, following it from start to finish, and we've attempted to evaluate how influential this could really be on the students of Nottingham.
This is URN The Pulse.
He For She got off to a kickstart on the 30th of September when prominent members of the He For She campaign and members of the university presented a talk about what He For She was and how we could promote it within the University of Nottingham.
However, before the event, we caught up with your women's officers about what they thought the event would entail.
So I'm joined with Emma and Emma, the two women's officers for the SU, and we're going to talk about the He For She campaign, which is kicking off this new year at Nottingham University. So the He For She campaign started just over a year ago, launched by the United Nations and sort of made popular to the general public with Emma Watson's campaigning throughout. What made you decide to pick up the campaign this year at Nottingham University?
Well, one of the main attractions for this campaign was basically the fact that Emma Watson has started it. It's kind of gone global and people have heard of it. So it's not like we're starting from zero. Most people that have come up to us asking about the campaign have already heard of it. So that's already great to start with. So we have something to work with and we can just go into the actual campaigning right away rather than explaining what the campaign is.
And also, of course, that it involves everyone, that anyone can join, anyone can help to reach gender equality, which is, of course, a main aim for us.
You've had for the first 2 days of Freshers' Week the mural just outside of the atrium. How's that gone down so far with the freshers and everybody else who's sort of been walking past in the Portland building?
Absolutely amazing. Like, we've been so surprised. Not surprised, that's the wrong word, but just pleasantly surprised by the amount of people coming up to us and, for one thing, recognising the campaign, but also wanting to do something with us, to join it, to write on the mural and so on. So it's been absolutely amazing and we're so happy about it.
And people are really engaging with the issues. It's not just some generic stuff that is on there. We're actually very happy with the intellectual thoughts that people have written on this mural. So we're very happy with it.
That's good to hear. Tell me more about the rest of the campaign. So you have this mural on the first 2 days of Freshers' Week. So what's next after that?
We're going to have the mural up again next week on Monday and Tuesday, right before our major event, which is going to be on the Wednesday. And we're going to have a speaker there that is going to talk about all these issues. And there's going to be a panel as well, so students can actually have their own input as well and have their questions answered. And then afterwards, we will be having a meeting to see where our individual campaigns are going to go within the He For She campaign.
What we also want to do is to link it to the university, to take the worldwide issues which He For She is trying to tackle and link it to our university and see what we can do for students here.
Actually, from the He For She campaign, there are 10 university impact champions for He For She. It includes the Vice President of Oxford as well as the Vice President of Leicester as well. So would you like to see Nottingham University's sort of staff working to that sort of thing as well?
Absolutely. I think it's a great campaign and we should do the best we can to join the bigger leagues on it.
You're having a further session where you're talking about how the campaign can push on after this awareness sort of stage of the campaign you're pushing on. So what sort of directions is this campaign going to take?
So the main things that we have talked about so far are lad culture and a consent campaign. And we want to collaborate with the Women's Network and with UON Feminists so that we can really work together and have this university-wide campaign so that it's not just from the Student Union, but it's actual students that are campaigning for this. So we're trying to set a committee up for these separate campaigns and then see where they want to lead it as well.
Because we have heard that both lad culture and lack of consent, especially in the university environment, is a big issue for students. So obviously that's why we want to focus on them.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The event itself took place at Keaton Auditorium and saw members of all student societies attending, with speakers including Anne Carrad Smith, Rob Jennings and the Vice-Chancellor, David Greenway, as well as head of the He for She campaign and keynote speaker, Women's Editor of The Telegraph, Emma Barnett.
Now, at the beginning of this talk, I said to you I was going to mention two words. One of them was feminism, and the other was sexism. And the reason I don't mention those words is because immediately loads of people turn off, loads of people don't want to know, loads of people think it's going to be joyless, they think it's going to be this, something else.
A world where we can be liberated to be just ourselves. So this is what He for She is about. It's about the freedom to be who we are and finding the courage to challenge our own gender biases. It starts with each one of us, and it starts today.
So I call you, and welcome men, on behalf of the He for She campaign, to ask only for those three things that are necessary to facilitate education: an open mind, a committed spirit, and a willingness to learn.
So how do you think the event went?
So I think it went really well, actually. There was a good energy in the room. I thought the presentations were great, really good to set the scene. And then I thought the panel discussion was good. I wish we'd had a bit longer and more opportunity to get questions from the audience and then really get into some discussion. But really good feel about it, and really pleased that it happened today.
Are you hoping that Nottingham can maybe go into more events like this, sort of promote gender equality more, and really this is the start of the ball rolling?
Yeah, I do think that this is the start. I mean, and I think that there's so much work to do that, really, you know, the opportunities are absolutely there for us. I think this is a great platform and it's something we want to embrace.
After the event, the head of He for She spoke to URN's Ollie Samuels about how the event had gone and what we could expect in the future.
Something you brought out in your speech, the invitation for everyone to be a part of the solution, is very important. And your opening video, of course, is men talking about the He for She campaign. Do you think that men have been sidelined from the gender equality movement before He for She? Is this what you're trying to kind of push as well?
No, I don't think that's entirely true. There has been some fantastic organisations working on getting men on board. In particular, one that we work with is called Men Engage. But I think what He for She is trying to do is to sort of make that platform larger, make it much more global, and just really start a conversation that enables men to self-identify. And we have sort of purposely haven't told men everything that they can do to support gender equality, because we also want men to contribute ideas to us, in which we're starting to see. I mean, it's a very quick example. A man out of Zimbabwe started a husband school. He literally went around his village and handpicking all the men that were abusive to their wives. Now, if you had said to me a year ago, Elizabeth, can you give me sort of a billion things that a man can do to support gender equality, I can bet you that, you know, starting a husband school would not be on that list. And so it's really about men owning this and making it their movement too.
So you mentioned there about the amazing grassroots projects that you've been going on, all for the He for She campaign. How important do you think those grassroots projects are for the success of the campaign? Do you think are they the most important thing, or do you think the UN's presence as a kind of leader for it is more important?
I actually hope that we can remove the UN out of this process. We are building a social movement, and a social movement is built by people. People start movements. And so what the UN does is to provide that sort of platform and be a facilitator. But ultimately, change is going to happen when the people themselves are engaged. And we are seeing that right now with the movement, where literally there's activities happening around the world, not because the UN is there, but because the movement has spoken to the people, and the people themselves have found it within themselves to do something about it. So I think we need both of these things to facilitate this great sustainable change that we need to see.
Yes, you're talking about societal change, it's a really important thing. How difficult do you think that is to get across in a short space of time?
I think it's challenging, but I've been called the impatient optimist, and I think time and time again we have seen what humanity can do when we put our minds to things. We've seen with the civil rights movement really creating change that people at the time thought was impossible. We've seen even with apartheid in South Africa, because I'm from Africa, so that's very relevant to me, where literally it required building solidarity between the blacks and the whites in order to end apartheid. And you You've seen it again recently in the US, in particular with the gay rights movement and the access to marriage. And we have made strides. And so I would like to think that, you know, we can do this on gender equality because the benefits are for everybody. So, yeah, I'm quite optimistic that we can do this. And actually, I'm even more optimistic that this becomes the 21st century achievement for all of humanity.
You mentioned there you grew up in like a small African village. Africa's numbers in the He For She campaign aren't as large as, for example, Europe's numbers or North American numbers as well. So what kind of things are you going to be doing to challenge that?
So a lot of the things is just to do with connectivity. There's a lot of things as well to do with patriarchy. But the important thing to stress is that gender inequality isn't a them versus us. You know, no country in the world can claim to have achieved gender equality. And so, you know, this notion that Africa is backwards or the notion that countries in the Middle East needed more, it's not accurate at all. But certainly, when you look at the numbers for He For She, the current way for men to sign up is very much technology-driven. And so we are currently working on activation by the phone, because again, for the most part, even when somebody doesn't have an internet, they would tend to have a phone. But certainly, there's also still, you know, the Western world has made such great strides. I think it's some of the things that Africa is still lagging on. In particular, the issue of child marriage is a big one, you know, for the continent. And so we are also hoping that, you know, through the He For She movement, Malawi is one of our impact champions, just as an example. And they have actually, the president has come up with a commitment to end child marriage in Africa. And a month and a half ago, a chief in Malawi announced 300 marriages and sent 175 girls back to school. So we are starting to see this change. And we just have to keep pushing.
So you've been on a big tour at the moment. Are you planning to maybe take the tour to Africa as well at some point?
Absolutely. So, I mean, we are so honoured to be here because you're our first stop on the tour. We are piloting this idea of this He For She Get Free Listening Tour in the UK. But the plan is to take the tour around the world in 2016, starting actually with Africa in Q1 2016, but also making sure that we go to the Middle East, we go to Latin America, go to South America. Yeah, we're quite excited about that, and you guys should feel really great that you are number two on a really important pilot that's going to set the standard of how we do this moving forward.
It's a big privilege for us, I can tell you that. So Rob Jennings there spoke about Emma Watson at length in his speech. How important do you think she is, almost as a figurehead for the whole kind of global equality campaign at the moment?
You could not find a more passionate, more authentic, and a more sort of rebel with a cause individual. I mean, this is something that, you know, was very personal to her, and she's literally on this movement and enabled it to be, you know, what it is. Her speech alone was what mobilized at least one man in every single country in the world to sign up. And what's really fascinating about Emma as well is that we did not engage with Emma as a celebrity. We engaged with Emma as a thought leader because she's very smart, she's passionate, and she wants the change that we all want as well. So.
And finally, He For She is a gender binary project. You've got the he in there, you've got the she in there. So what plans do you have to include members perhaps of the wider like LGBT community and things like that?
So this has been a learning opportunity for us as well, because, you know, when you launch something of this scale, you can't always get it right. And the other important element is that this is an initiative by UN Women. UN Women is the entity within the United Nations with a mandate to create an equal world for women and girls. And so we started from that standpoint that, you know, we wanted to create something that would enable women and girls to have better access to opportunities. But certainly, as the movement has grown, we have seen a huge support base from the LGBT community, and we've been doing a lot of listening to them in terms of how they can also be part of the movement. And we have a few things we're working on, and hopefully in 2016 we'll be able to sort of announce the steps that we've taken to make sure that this is indeed a truly movement for all of humanity.
After the events, we spoke to Ang Harrod about how everything had gone.
So at the He For She campaign, you spoke alongside people such as Emma Barnett and Elizabeth Nayamaro. How did that feel?
Pretty incredible, if I'm honest. I don't think I'd really thought about it before I arrived. And when you see them in person, you're kind of like, wow. And obviously they're phenomenal speakers, really impassioned as well. So yeah, no, it was brilliant. What I'm hoping is that we are going to get a lot of people turning up on the 7th of October to the meeting, and it's going to bring together people who previously obviously had thought about gender equality but hadn't actually sort of pursued it as a campaign or as a thought process. So I think it's just hopefully going to bring a lot of people together from different walks of life.
So speaking to the Vice-Chancellor after, Deputy Vice-Chancellor after the end of the He For She conference, she said that this was just the beginning for He For She at Nottingham. So what are the future plans? What are your future plans to take gender equality to the next level?
Yeah, so we're really using He For She as a platform in which we can create our own campaign. You know, drawing on some of the amazing things about the He For She campaign, which is getting men on board with gender equality and trans gender equality as well. So on the 7th of October, like I said previously, we're meeting in the hub at 6:30. Sarah, who's the welfare officer, and myself are going to be doing a number of talks. We've drawn together a series of campaigns that other unions and other universities have done, just really as a collage, and to showcase it to a lot of students who might have no idea what's really gone on in the past. And then using that as a basis, and then really what we're going to do is empower students to create the campaign, work out the marketing, work out the branding, and create all the different events. So hopefully there's something that's going on every single month.
So at He For She, there was a point raised by the Feminist Society stating that they don't feel that they get enough support from the Students' Union. You seem quite passionate about change and improvement in this area. So what are your plans for increased support for the Feminist Society?
Yeah, so we are meeting with them next week before the event. And yeah, we really do want to work with them throughout this campaign. It's something that they've obviously been working on ever since they started 3 years ago. So we will be working with them. And what we want to do in order, in sort of in a cohesion with this campaign, is celebrate the ones that we've previously done as well. So celebrate the work of the Femmes and of the Women's Network as well.
One of the keynote speakers at He For She was award-winning journalist, women's editor of The Telegraph, and Nottingham alumni, Emma Barnett. Prior to the event, URN caught up with Emma, gaining her opinions on both He For She and how gender prejudice affected her student life.
You're a student at University of Nottingham. From your time at university, do you have any particular memories which fueled your beliefs in gender equality?
I don't know if I'm 100% correct in this. If I'm not the first, I was certainly the second female president of the New Theatre. And I remember running for that and it being quite a thing that I was running for it. And I was running, I think, again, against all men. And just now I've met the president of the theatre and he is a man. And the last one was a man and the one before that was a man. And I think maybe two more before that, there was one other woman. So I think there's been only one other woman since I left in 2006. And I was quite aware that I was putting myself forward at times when no other women were putting themselves forward. I didn't feel like the university in any way had sort of sexist undertones, but I still felt there was times where I was putting my head above the parapet as a woman and more women needed to do that.
So you're obviously here as the keynote speaker for the He For She campaign. So what elements of He For She as a woman working within a male-dominated industry do you personally identify with?
Listen, in the media, it's all about slogans. It's all about a hashtag. It's all about how to capture people's imagination. The UN deployed Emma Watson very effectively when she did her speech, which launched the He For She initiative. And just He For She is a very powerful thing because, you know, I've interviewed people like Melinda Gates, the huge philanthropist, wife of Bill Gates, but in her own right, very successful at raising the issues for women around the world in less privileged and underdeveloped countries. And she has said to me time and time again when we spoke, she talked about the fact that if you get the men on board, women's lives will improve. And so I think it's a very powerful, catchy slogan. And sadly, in the world that we live in, where people have probably got about 10 seconds to keep people's attention and 2 seconds on Twitter to keep people's attention. It's a neat hashtag. It's a very powerful sentiment. I think what we need to do now, though, is have some concrete action around that. So it isn't just a slogan. And so boys, girls, men and women all take notice of how everybody has to play a role in achieving full equality for the genders.
So you mentioned men there and men getting involved. So how do you think we can move beyond engaging men in sort of feminist discourse and into active feminism?
Well, every man has a mother. every man has a sister. And if a man says something to you you don't like, or they do something you don't like, I find often one of the most powerful things, I've done it on radio phone-ins, is to ask them, would they talk to their mother like that? I mean, if they say yes, then you're really screwed, because I don't know what you're going to do with a man like that, other than get somebody else to give them a good hiding, or, you know, at least make them think about themselves, because if your mum can't smack your bottom because you don't respect her, who can? But I think there's something that will always bring you back to women and how women could be treated if you make it about family. And I think that's an incredibly powerful first step.
If you currently go onto the He for She website, one of the movements which is in place is the idea that you can see how many men from each country have signed up. So in August, you published an article concerning gender segregation. Sort of, what do you think of this? Because obviously even on the website for He for She, there's an emphasis on how many men have signed up.
I mean, I think what they're trying to do is kind of push a bias in another direction. So there could be cases, this is why I don't think there can be one rule all the time that fits. There could be cases where gender segregation can at times be, a very limited times, be a good thing. So not in any way, shape or form when you're being educated, not in any way, shape or form when you're being given opportunities, not in a democratic scenario like a chamber like the House of Commons. However, if a group of women, let's say, have been abused or have found themselves in a situation where they need to talk sensitively about a health issue, those are times where women might just want to talk to a female doctor in a group of women. There are times for men, if they've got erectile dysfunction, if they've got issues with their sexuality, they may also just want to talk to men. And so I think you can have gender segregation, but I wouldn't say that's like segregation. It's more like self-selected to be alone for a point of empathy. So I'm not sure on the website by them. I've not actually looked at the website recently. I'm not sure them. I've looked at the Twitter feed. I'm not sure them asking how many men have done it. But equally, they're trying to lead by example.
On the website, their tagline is, you go onto He for She. They have two pieces of text, and it's at the beginning it says, the movement for gender equality was originally conceived as a struggle led only by women for women. And then it goes on to say, in recent years, men have begun to stand up in addressing inequalities and discrimination faced by women. In your opinion, could this possibly be perceived that gender equality has only really come to the forefront since men have started to care?
Good old man. I mean, I launched the women's section of the Telegraph 3 years ago, and I felt already at that point there was a resurgence, the fourth wave of feminism, if you like. And that purely on all my reading at that point, I didn't read any men writing about it, talking about it. I only read or listened to men on the radio doing feminism largely in a way to troll the audience. So, yes, I think it's great that men are having their eyes opened to gender equality. Do I think it's reached prominence? Do I think it's got some of the high-profile levels because of men? No, I don't. And I think they can only help. I mean, I have an issue with... This is a slightly different answer, but something that I think is important. Somebody said to me at the weekend, isn't it great now that companies are trying to get more women at senior levels of their organisation because they've been proven that having women is better for the bottom line? And I said, no, that's not a good thing at all, because if you could find research that was opposite to that effect, opposite, and showed that women were bad or diversity was bad for the bottom line, you could use it to get rid of women or get rid of other groups. The reason you should desire gender equality is because it's right. There's no other reason. And especially once, I don't have children, but I see that once a man has a child, and if that child is a daughter, my God, they get engaged, because they don't want a girl to go through life and ever be at a disadvantage because of their gender.
After the primary talk at He for She, there was a follow-up event. This event was aiming towards gaining gender and transgender equality.
Reporters Harry and Izzy went down to the event and spoke to those both speaking and in attendance.
And do you think that this He for She event has been promoted well, and He for She on campus is, you know, accessible?
So I think what this event is looking very promising is that there's a lot of people who want to be involved in this conversation about gender equality, and there are a lot of diverse groups, and if the femmes can be involved in that, and we can use the education that we've already got as somebody, as a group that has been educated in this and has been working in this for 3 years prior to the He for She bus rolling up on campus a couple of weeks ago, go, then I think that we can like create real change within the university.
I think what's great is that we've been given a bit of a platform here to talk to people who would by no means come to our meetings. We had a meeting about like an hour before at 5 p.m. on every Wednesday, but and you know, about five people from that meeting came here, but there are like 50 people here who probably hadn't even heard of us before, because we don't have that much publicity around the university because of lack of funding.
Yeah.
But it means that I think we're going to get a bigger network going, and just working with like executive teams like the women's officers isn't quite the same as getting out there for actual students.
Yeah.
So I think that's quite,
I mean, the thing is that the SU, as like the officer team, they have budgets, they have resources. Societies have budgets, they have resources. As a campaign group, we don't have any funding, so we have to work extra hard to reach out to people. So an event like this where the officer team can go, we can have free pizza, is a great way to have a platform.
Sam Peake, community officer. First of all, how do you think the event went?
I thought it was excellent. I was thrilled by the turnout. We've filled the room.
Do you feel that the points raised will be taken on board effectively?
I believe there's a real momentum in the room. There's still a buzz around the room. People are still talking about it, even subsequent to the event. So I think there were a wide variety of opinions in the room about, you know, what gender equality, what feminism is, the best strategy to move forward. The point I'd like to emphasise is that diversity is a great thing about student unions. There are lots of different opinions. There are lots of different people taking the initiative. That's a strength. We need to play to that strength, and it's our job as officers to support different groups going forward in how they want to go about things.
So I'm with Rob Jennings, the activities officer. First of all, what do you think of the turnout and the event itself?
Absolutely fantastic. Not a seat empty. People going out the door. It's really great to see people responding to the He For She campaign, and then actually taking the initiative and turning it into something that's relevant for Nottingham students.
My only worry is that in branching out in so many different areas, mm-hmm. you will lose the main focus, which was equality for all. For men, women and transgenders. In going to these separate ideals and subsections, if you like, the initial message will be lost and you'll go back to square one.
Sure, I mean, it's important that we remember why we're doing this, as you said, that it's about gender equality. But when you talk about gender equality and you begin speaking about LGBT and all the other kind of denominations that we should talk about, it's a complex thing. There's a lot to think about. So it's in many ways quite difficult to adopt a one size fits all. However, you know, gender equality would be the route to which we would try and anchor everything.
Yeah. And you obviously, you mentioned it, you didn't want to, as an SU sort of, you wanted to be very student-led. Now, that's great, but what happens when you've got so many different societies here pulling each other in different directions? Surely you're going to have to step in at some point and act as a sort of symbol or a negotiator for all these different societies.
Sure.
There were lots of ideas being thrown around the room. Quite a lot of tension as well.
Sure. I think where our role as SU officers kind of comes in really is letting the students kind of dictate where we take the movement, and as you've heard this evening, letting them put forward their ideas. As you said, we've had a lot of them, but as I said, where I think our role is finding ideas that perhaps have a common interest, have a lot of things in common, and then trying to group them together.
So I'm here with Ang Harrit, the SU president. First of all, you could tell by the atmosphere that people were really taking on board what you were saying. It was packed in general. What were your opinions of the event? Were there anything you thought you could improve on or for next time?
Yeah, I mean, I think any event you can always improve on. It was just great to see so many people here. It's something that Sarah and I have been working on, and the office team as a whole, for quite a while now. And it was great to see it sort of finally pay off. But what's brilliant about it is that so many people are getting engaged with the discussion, bringing up some points that I hadn't even thought about before. I think in terms of improving it for next time, maybe making it more interactive, encouraging more people to actually come up and give presentations, and maybe more publicity.
The main issue, the backbone of the umbrella, was gender equality. And when you go up into sort of the subsections, looking at harassment and other subsections like that, I worry that you may lose the main message, which was equality for all, because they may be so focused on pushing that one subsection that you will lose the sort of the main idea that started it all. How do you think you're going to have to combat that?
I think, like you said, always bringing it back to the discussion and back to the main bracket, which is equality for all. Going on from that, if you do have the different subsections, you know, kind of like the more the merrier. So
trying to interconnect.
Yeah, I was going to say so. I mean, in my head, something that I might think, you know, that it could work as, you know, having something every month on a different aspect of the umbrella campaign. But if you had something like the same marketing, the same design that people can recognise, then people affiliate it with the campaign, so they understand the issues. But
obviously, you want to primarily be student-led. We certainly had a range of opinions coming from all different societies and different factions of the university. Obviously, the SU are going to sort of lead it, but how much of a role do you think you're going to have to take?
We, as a union, want to empower students to become leaders. It might not be that there is a committee. I don't know how it will form, but I think, yeah, for the next couple of meetings, Sarah and I will be there more as a facilitator to appease any debates that might be happening or any arguments or issues of contention. But I am hopeful that people will step up to the forefront and want to be part of the campaign and part of the committees.
We spoke to other student groups about how they thought He for She had gone and how it affected them.
We spoke to Voice Your Rights.
I'm here with two of the leading members of the Voice Your Rights Society. What did you think of the event?
Really good. I mean, it's a very big turnout. I mean, I think Emma Watson did an amazing job kicking it off last year. I mean, I think we heard quite a few contrasting voices about the He for She campaign, because the problem that we are very aware here is that it kind of like focuses very much on male and female, and we do have trans communities, we do have communities which don't identify as either, and we need to make sure that within whatever we do, we represent the whole of our SU rather than just the men and the women, you know.
Are there any issues you can think going forward that should be forefront in the SU's mind?
I mean, I think it just has to be inclusivity. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes, because I know they said they didn't want to lead it. Don't see how they can really not, but I mean, it's quite good. I think, I mean, personally speaking, just thinking about it at the end, and Harrod was talking about having a overall kind of brand or campaign idea, which I think is kind of nice, but it almost, we've got kind of like a lot of different kind of messages, I think, that we're trying to get across, and I think one kind of brand might be nice, like to have a hashtag that accompanies all this stuff, but actually that all the messages, they're the important things to get across rather than the campaign brand or the overarching umbrella that it's all falling under. So maybe just having a minimal kind of overarching umbrella name for everything that we're doing, so it all kind of ties together and we can see all these different messages, but it's the messages that are important.
And finally, we spoke to UON feminists, who throughout the process of the campaign had been vocal about their objections and problems with He for She.
What did you think of the He for She campaign within Nottingham University?
Well, I think that it's well-meaning in a lot of ways, so it's trying to engage people into gender, like the fight for gender equality, that people that wouldn't usually be involved, so getting like the rugby team involved, getting the vice chancellor involved, they're not really advocates for gender equality most of the time, so it started off kind of getting them involved, but then faltered a bit. It didn't have any aims, really. It was just mostly about getting people to say that they were a he for she. A really awful sounding sentence, anyway. But then there were no goals made. You know, the Vice-Chancellor made grand, gesticulations and was just like, oh, we're going to have so many more women academics. He didn't tell us how. It was all about percentages. It was about the corporate aspect, the brand aspect. It seemed a bit careerist, really. I mean, I'm sure there were lots of good intentions behind it, but it wasn't, like, meaty gender equality. Yeah, we don't want tokenistic kind of gestures, you know. The rugby team took a big picture outside of the He for She bus, but are they going to be campaigning with us? That's what I want to know. How are we going to move on from this?
How do you feel the gender equality groups at the University of Nottingham, such as the Women's Network and the University of Nottingham Feminists, have been treated throughout this campaign?
Well, we've been treated, I mean, these groups in general have been treated as a kind of an extreme version of things. I feel like we've been shown as the alternative to these things. So it's like the general argument was like, we're fighting for gender equality, and if you're interested in the crazier side of things, here are the UN feminists and the Feminist Network and the LGBT network.
I think it's really telling as well that there are so many universities who do this so much better. I've got a few friends in Cardiff and Leeds, and some of the small universities as well. They have very supportive SUs and very supportive universities as a whole, where they have lecturers turning up to the meetings of my friends, and they end up, you know, getting involved and getting the whole lecture room involved in what they're talking about because they have that support, and it's kind of a shame that we don't have any lecturers turning up to our stuff. That would be really great to see.
Yeah, really recently I was talking to the president of the FemSoc at Trent. They have one of the best students' unions in the country voted by students, and they never had any issues campaigning for gender equality because they always had the freedom to do it, the funding to do it, whatever, the support to do it.
You talked about the issues faced. Do you have any specific issues that you can talk about that the University of Nottingham feminists have faced from the Students' Union?
Well, a lack of communication has always been an issue, which we are working on. We are having meetings to try and kind of rectify this, and this has been kind of an ongoing issue with the UON feminists because we have such a huge network of students that it's quite difficult for us to keep up communications with the Students' Union, and of course they have a lot of things to do themselves. But if we're really going to do an effective campaign, we need to work together, you know. And so it's a lack of publicity given, a lack of communication, a lack of funding.
So the slogan "He for She" has been stated to be exceptionally powerful.
Has it? Who said that?
Well, there you go. What's your opinion of the slogan?
I'm going to let Joseph go for this
one. Sure. So it's about selling. Why do we need to sell feminism when it's to do with like empathy and caring about people? It shouldn't need a slogan in order to be powerful. It should need people who care about people, which should be everyone. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. It feels like you're trying to capitalize literally on a cause that should be about everyone.
And then even just beyond the kind of the capitalist rhetoric going on at the moment to do with he for she, there's also the fact that it is cis normative, it's male centric, it's binary promoting. It's just a bit of a lazy way of describing feminism, really. I mean, you know, in the first place, why do we have to make gender equality about getting the he, saving the she, you know? And what about the they? Where are they, you know? Just not involved, what's going on? And then I've talked to people from the UN who are part of the UN Women's He for She team, and they say, oh, it's something that we're working on. I was like, well, if it's something as intrinsic as your name is already excluding a huge amount of people, giving the platform to the wrong person, you know, surely it's broken from the beginning if that's your catch line.
How did the meeting with the Students' Union go prior to He for She? What was discussed?
There was not a meeting prior to the initial He for She UN-organised event. There was a meeting afterwards to kind of discuss the situation, because there was a situation. The event itself, we thought, I mean, I and a few of my friends who went along, not the UN feminists as a whole, people had different opinions about it, but I thought that it was not a good event. I think that if there had been some involvement by the UN feminists or at least students, then we could have kind of had a better discourse going, you know, had some proper discussions. It seemed like everyone there was not an expert in the fight for gender equality. There were people there who had vague connections, like, well, Rob Jennings came to talk about his impact on, you know, the event and how he came to feminism, things like that. Like, could you not have got a feminist member who was a bit more informed in that? Because, you know, there was some questioning of some phrasing, calling men the champions of feminism, and there was some questioning of whether that was actually a good way of talking about things, and then there was some kind of upset because we weren't attacking anything, but if there had been some involvement with the UN feminists, we could have been like, actually, that's a bit of a weird thing to say.
Yeah, totally. And the thing that shocked me the most was when they said to us, it took a very short amount of time to get this together. We didn't have much time to get everything organized, but they got people from the UN to like talk about it. Like, they don't just turn up on the bus after you call them. It takes a while to get those people together. So if they had time to get those people, I mean, we were on their doorstep.
Yeah.
And we were very willing to talk. So
the meeting that we had after this big event, we kind of discussed many of our issues that were actually the issues of our membership. I talked to a lot of people who are frankly quite confused and distressed by the fact that we weren't involved. And people, even after the event, saying, were the UN feminists not involved? Why weren't they involved? Is that why this event was so weird and bad? Is it because you weren't involved? And it was like, well, yeah. But there were a lot of issues that made students feel like they weren't involved in quite a big campaign. And that was always going to be an issue. And we just kind of relayed those feelings to the SU or representatives from the SU and then talked about how we were going to be involved in the upcoming campaign, or how the SU wanted us to be involved in the upcoming campaign. Whether or not that's going to work or whether that's the best thing to do is a question for the future, really.
So when interviewing Emma Barnett, we put to her your question, which was, how can we move beyond engaging men in feminist discourse and into active feminism? She responded that the way to deal with this was to make it personal and relate it back to female family members. Do you agree with this?
Not for a single second. That's possibly the worst answer to that question anyone could give. It was frankly confusing. It was really actually quite condescending towards a lot of men in feminism. You know, I remember talking to my boyfriend about it, and he was actually quite offended by the fact that he could not muster any human empathy that wasn't beyond how something would affect him. You know, saying that, oh, but, you know, you should be worried about street harassment because what if it happened to your mum? You know, what if it happened to any woman? You shouldn't only be worried about it because your mum might be upset by it, therefore you are going to be affected by it, you know. And not only that, it wasn't really an answer to my question.
I like the idea, but also, like, the discourse has already moved on from that. We've already said women are people. People are, you know, generally, we should care about them, maybe. So moving on from just saying they need to be protected, it's more they should be empowered, and we shouldn't have to rely on each other to defend them. It should be, there shouldn't be anything to defend them from.
Yeah, and I think that was a kind of a running theme of the initial event, where Emma Barnett's talk seemed to be quite ignorant of fourth wave feminism, where there was a moment in her speech where she said that fourth wave feminism itself was too cuddly. I've never myself been accused of being too cuddly as a feminist, seriously. But I feel like people didn't know what was actually going on in feminism. To say that we should be humanizing it only by telling them about their own relatives is kind of about 20 years too late in the feminist discourse, you know. Emma Barnett, I'm sure she's a very interesting woman who knows a lot of interesting things, but clearly not anything about fourth wave feminism.
Just any kind of closing thoughts about he for she, anything that we've not discussed yet, something, any issues, any more issues that you have with he for she?
Well, I think my main issue, my overarching issue with he for she is that it doesn't really give any steps of how it's going to solve the issue, whether the issue itself is fixing gender inequality or is it men aren't involved in feminism. What I think the real goal of he for she should be is to encourage men to bring feminism into the spheres where women and feminists or fighters of gender equality are not taken seriously, and they should promote it there. They should not be given the feminist and social inequality platform where their opinion is prized above all others, you know. The thing about quite a lot of the discourse around he for she is like, oh, men finally get a voice in social justice. No, men have a voice in social justice. That's the entire world. Men don't face that kind of lack of space. Like, women and people not on the gender binary do. Don't give them that space. I mean, yes, they have a space in it, but don't give the entire thing to them, you know. That's what he for she did. It was a real problem. And then beyond that, they didn't have any goals. They didn't say how to become an activist in feminism, how to talk to your friends about feminism. It was just an empty thing. It was tokenistic and it was useless, and I've not seen anything that's going to convince me otherwise.
I mean, the phrase champions of feminism implies ownership. Men don't own the feminist space, but if they want to, like, learn about it, I think he for she is a great place to, like, stop and admire what could be, you know, the idea of men being part of this whole thing. That's great. But if you want to learn more, feminism's the way to go.
First question of what I want to ask you guys is something that they were quite keen, or at least Emma Barnett was quite keen on putting forward, is the idea that for men, you should think about your family, and that's the best way to try and get men to appreciate feminism. Do you agree with her, or do you agree with Femstock instead, that perhaps that's not quite doing justice to the idea of feminism and why you should be against misogyny?
I can see how that might be quite almost offensive. I think Femsoc said that it underestimated the ability of men to be able to empathise with women, and I think maybe they're right, that is a bit of a dated opinion, and they should be thinking about more women deserve this because they are our equals. I think that kind of undermines the whole equality aspect of gender equality now. Like, feminism now is supposed to be working towards equality, and men need to be empowering women, not thinking, oh, I wouldn't want my mum to be spoken rudely to on the street. More like, women don't deserve to be spoken rudely to.
That's very true. And I did pick up when Emma was speaking that, you know, she was almost chastising men, saying, you know, would you speak to your mother like that? Would you speak to your sister like that? And I think that really just makes people recoil slightly, and it would always make the men wince, thinking, you know, that's sort of the stigma attached to feminism anyway, that they think that they're just sort of men-hating tyrants that, you know, are going to shout at them and emasculate them. So I did think that, you know, much as a lot of what she said I agreed with, that comment I didn't fully agree with, and I did sort of fall more with the Feminist Society on how that's just a bit irrelevant, and, you know, if you have a daughter or not, that shouldn't really affect how you feel about gender bias and equality.
But do you not feel that Emma, in some ways, is making a good point that some men may struggle to have the empathy that is necessary to understand why feminism needs this big push and why they are trying to seek gender equality? And that's just, there are some men that may have that lack of understanding. So in some ways, can you not see where she's coming from, or do you think it is just too extreme of a remark?
Well, I think in regards to trying to get men to care enough about the campaign, I think, you know, that goes back to, you know, it being a selling point and a hashtag and not really having much substance behind it, just kind of being like, yeah, we should do this, and it being very idealistic. But then again, I also think, what else can you do? Like, it's true, some men just won't mind, they won't care, they won't really pay much attention to anything that's put out there, unless maybe they can bring it back to a personal connection to their own family, for example.
Well, it's interesting when you say about that idea of it just being a brand, it just being a name or a hashtag. What do you think of what Femsoc said about that? Is he for she doing enough real work, or is it more just a brand name, a style?
I don't know much about what he for she has actually been doing, apart from, I know men have been wearing the badges or posting on their Instagram a picture of them holding the sign. But as, like, active, I don't think the event promoted ways they could actually do things. They were more encouraging people to announce themselves as feminists, but again, they didn't point them towards things they could do. But at the same time, I think you've got to start things somewhere, and I think maybe it's a good idea to get the whole idea of men being for women present in today's society. And if that is by doing it through social media and even just saying it, I think maybe making that will make other men feel more comfortable to support feminism and make it seem a bit more approachable.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think it's more about sort of dispelling the stigma that's attached to feminism and sexism, and sort of just a whole new take on it, which essentially wants to achieve the same thing, which is equality for men and women and other people as well, everyone. And I think that, you know, just giving it a new name is encouraging for people to actually pay attention to it and consider it as something they might want to get involved in.
Now, part of their plot initiative in the He For She campaign is trying to engage governments, corporations, universities, and just key members of the public to try and get them involved in their campaign and make them understand gender equality needs to be pushed. But is that really enough? Is that, you know, something that's just been done over the last few years, and in essence, what they're doing is just rehashing an old idea? Are they pushing hard enough, essentially?
I would say that a lot's been done in legislation and things. There's not much further we can go to make women in terms of law very much equal. I think it is definitely a social thing, and I think it's all about rebranding feminism in a way that makes it attractive to men. And that doesn't mean you have to change what feminism means. I just think maybe in the past it has got a stigma, and it's just, I think anything you can do to make it more appealing to not just men but to other women in general. I know a lot of women find the whole he for she idea a lot more appealing when they don't come across like crazy bra burning women.
Yeah, very true. I also think that what Emma said was great about her becoming new theatre president, and, you know, that's just a really relevant example that we can all understand, and we can just sit back and think, oh, wait a minute, why aren't more women who do theatre going to be elected to be president? Like, really, we need to address things like that, because that shouldn't really be the case.
Well, now, obviously, He For She is trying to focus on university campuses and try and get them more involved and students more involved. But what more can be done by our university in particular? Do you feel that this university is quite good for its level of gender equality, or do you think that it lets you down at times?
I think maybe it's a bit ineffective the way that the UON Feminist Society don't feel like they have a voice in the SU and don't feel connected with the He For She campaign. I would have thought that they would have been one of the first groups, A, to get involved, and, well, B, to be asked to be involved and get their voice heard and what they think on. And I think the fact that they feel like they're not working very well with the SU is very ineffective and inefficient and wasting valuable time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, surely with something as inclusive as He For She, like, you'd think all groups of people and all society should be involved. And it's just quite sad to listen to sort of how almost bitter the Feminist Society sounded about how they had been sort of sidelined and snubbed and kind of made to sound out like they were crazy extremists, when really it should be all hands to deck and they should be one of the pivotal societies that are, like, you know, getting involved in the campaign.
But is it not fair to at least admit that there are different ideas about feminism and about what feminism should be doing? And so, you know, the He for She campaign, maybe not including the Feminist Society, while perhaps surprising to many, could be seen as a move to just try and include the type of ideas of feminism that they are aspiring towards, rather than perhaps what FemSoc feels. I mean, we saw during that interview that there are several areas of feminism where they disagree with the He for She campaign. Is that not simply... perhaps it's better off that the He for She campaign is focusing more on its own goals rather than trying to include all areas of feminism.
What I thought was really interesting is that the feminists seemed to didn't like the slogan He for She, and they felt it was he being the champion of feminism, that the fact that you need men to make feminism work, which actually I find really interesting. I've never thought of that before, he saving the she. So I think if they don't agree fundamentally with the slogan, which is what's encaptioned the whole movement, then maybe it was for the best that they didn't get involved, because the less conflicting voices you have, the better. The moment you have conflict, it gets confusion, and then your message becomes very unclear to people that just want something easy. They want something quick, something that they'll remember, and something that will strike a chord with everyone.
Well, is it not reasonable to think that you do actually need men on your side if you're trying to achieve gender equality? I mean, most feminism nowadays is focused on both men and women being equal. It's about them being at the same point. And so men being on your side, and perhaps they shouldn't be taking the lead, obviously, I agree on that. But having men involved is surely key to any feminism campaign now.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I actually was quite glad that they did have a male speaker for the Feminist Society as well, to sort of like not kind of rule that out completely. But I mean, it's almost like you can't win, can you? I mean, there's He for She that's trying to get their message out to men to think about feminism in a way that they haven't maybe before. They've been scared about it or sort of unwilling to kind of read into it. And then there's the Feminist Society that feel like they're more kind of interested and well read when it comes to the feminist movement, and they think that He for She is years, I think the girl said that they were years behind current thought. So it's almost like you have to just decide what's more important, getting your message out to more people, trying to have positive idealism, or maybe, you know, the Feminist Society, they should be getting more funding, more publicity from the SU to make their message as widely heard as He for She has been able to have been.
This is URN The Pulse.
So that's all for our He for She coverage.
If you have any opinions on He for She, please don't hesitate to let us know by sending us free web texts at urn1350.net, tweeting us at urnpulse, or sending us a Facebook message at urnnews.
You can also keep an eye out for any developments on the campaign by logging on to our brand new website, urn1350.net.
Don't forget to tune into The Pulse every weekday 5 till 6 for more of the news that matters to you.
This is URN The Pulse.